Thank you. sound of peace. Word of God lets us know there's one body and there's one spirit. Even as we're called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Then he went on further and said, there's one Father and God who's above all, he's through all, and thank God he is.
In you are.
I said, thank God he is.
In you are.
Amen. We said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God. Amen. We're honored. Amen. To be in service one more time. Give honor to my wife. Amen. She's been doing our evangelistical missionary work. Amen. Just pray to God for being blessed and strengthen her. Amen. As well as our visiting minister, Pastor Gilbert from Massachusetts, and his family that came with him.
Thank you.
How many are glad that you know the Lord this afternoon?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. How many can say there's no other place that I'd rather be? I said there's no other place that I'd rather be than in church.
Hallelujah.
So we just thank God this afternoon. We're going to actually prepare for the scripture reading will be coming from Hebrews chapter 5, I'll start with verse 9. But before we do that, this afternoon, our message, you know, personally, I'm concerned for our church, but I'm concerned about the body of Christ as a whole.
Yes.
Our message this afternoon is going to deal with men in a spiritual stupor.
Mm-hmm. All right.
A spiritual stupor. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not too long ago, we went over being in church. The Bible says you have a name that you liveth. But the stupor is that you are dead. How can you be alive and dead at the same time? Because it's a spiritual issue that is resident in our souls. And I think, as I believe as a whole, the church is in a stupor.
All right.
We are missing the spiritual. But my God, we can grab all the natural stuff.
Lord have mercy.
What's going to propel us from earth to glory, we're missing.
My. Break it down.
But all the stuff that's down here, mm-hmm. we grab hold on and hold on to it. Mm-hmm. When Paul tells the church of Corinthians, the things that are seen are temporal. We invest so much time in what's down here. Mm-hmm. And we fail to recognize the spiritual parts. You know, as I was, the praise team was singing, and I was still just meditating on the Word of God. It's been back and forth. Friday night, we went over a commitment versus an obligation. And the simplest way to explain a commitment is how I want to be in church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What can I do for God?
Yes, Lord.
I don't do enough. An obligation is, why do I have to go to church? Why do people bother me about prayer? Why do people bother me about reading the Bible and fasting and spiritual stuff? That's an obligation. How many this afternoon, can I give you a little summary of Friday without giving you the whole message? But how many this afternoon are here because you want to be here?
Hallelujah.
How many are here because you know how good God has been to
you? Hallelujah.
How many have been here today because when your soul looks back and wonders, you know that by all means you should be here, but God made a way out of
no way.
So I'm here today because I got something down on the inside. Thank God that the world didn't give it to me. I got peace of mind in the world, didn't give it to me.
Right.
But then there are others here because I don't want nobody to call my number. They ask where I am. Mm.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
I'm here because I'm on the board of the church, and I don't want nobody questioning me about why where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm here because I'm in part of this part of the ministry, and if I don't show up, I know somebody's going to ask where you at.
Right,
that's an obligation.
Right.
That won't take you to heaven.
No.
Because the Bible says, our God seeth not as man seeth.
Right.
God is not interested in motion salvation.
Uh-huh.
All of the outward displays of being righteous. But there's something missing
right.
in the heart.
Yes, sir.
We've learned to play church. We learned the mechanics of church. We learned the routine of church. But there's something missing. And Paul tells the church of Corinthians in chapter 16, verse 33, he said, whatsoever you do for God, do it through charity, which is God's love. Yeah. How many, now you think, because I can't make this choice or decision for you. If God were to call you right now, I'm not talking about 2 hours from now, I'm not talking about a half an hour. If God called you right now, could you say it well with my soul? Could you say I'm free and made whole? If you can't say that, you don't have a commitment to God. David said, Lord, wash me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I'm afraid the church is missing the real message. Being in church is not about just speaking in tongues and dancing and singing and shouting. But when you walk out the doors, there got to be some real stuff down in here.
Right.
Now, I'm going to try to get you my message, but you know what? I'm going to free will it today.
All right.
If you don't shout, it don't make any difference to shout, because the Bible said the devil believe and they tremble, but they still going to hell.
Right.
So believing is not enough. Yes, I love the Lord. I believe in God. It's not enough. When the Bible says that when God judges us, he will judge the secrets of man's heart. Yes, there's some stuff that only you and God and maybe somebody else know. But when it comes to God judging us, he's going to judge the secrets of our heart according to the gospel.
Yes.
All those hidden things, all those things in the buried and covered that we don't think anybody knows, some things we've forgotten. God's going to judge those things.
That's all right.
Amen. The Bible says that when we appear before him, and how many in church? Well, your judgment begins now, because the Bible says judgment begins where?
House of God.
Come on, judgment begins where?
House of God.
House of God. I don't do you no good to go out in the street and get everybody else saying you lost.
That's
why Paul said, I have to keep under my body, lest after I get the whole world saved. I become a castaway. I'm profitable. I'm useless for God. Yes, I preached in his name. Don't you know who I am and what I've done? Didn't you see me on TV or on the street corner? Yes, I preached in his name. I've healed in his name. I've cast out demons in his name. I've done some mighty wonderful works. That's the problem right there. It's too much God. I heard a minister preach one time. I said, all he kept saying is, I said, please, can you please put the Lord in there? Because Jesus himself said that without me, you can't do anything. So yes, you've done that. But when the Lord judges us, when he separates the sheep from the goat, he's going to judge us. He's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of
iniquity.
Iniquity means you did everything, but you did not do it according to the law or the word of God. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. He's going to say, guess what? I never knew you. Well, Lord, I did this. God said, you know what? I'm God. I can't dishonor my word.
That's right.
So even a false prophet, a false evangelist can use my word, and I will react to the word based on your faith. But that don't mean I knew you. Hallelujah. I said the church is in the spiritual student. Call on all of the ostentation outside displays. Yes. That brother can sing. That sister can shout. That sister can broke. Was it hard? Because when God judges every last one of us, it's not the outward appearance. He judges the heart. Can you go? I want you to go to. Can you go to the cartoon for a minute? I just want to. And you know, we always try to put something interesting for the children to read while we wait for church. And these aren't exactly the same words. We kind of tailored it to fit our service. But I said, this is what's happening to the church. It's a young man, and he's in church, and he's dealing with his pastor, just like a whole lot of us. Somebody's leading us in the right way. And he has a friend, supposedly. Sometimes you got to watch your friends. His friend tells him, hey, listen, don't be reading all this Jesus stuff. You just got too much church in you. And the young man replies, why not? I promised pastor that I would read it and follow up on it. His friend says, come on, you can trust me. That should have been a red flag right there. Anytime anybody tries to tell you something against the authority and the leadership of the church, stop. It should be a red flag. So the kid is mulling, or the young man is mulling over his mind. He said, yeah, maybe I can trust you. But he knew that he couldn't trust him. There's some people in our lives that we put a whole lot of confidence in.
Right.
But their inspiration is taking you away from God. But they call themselves your friends. So the friend says, what do you mean, maybe? He said, in the end, you'll find out. Now it is the end. And the young man looks at the friend and says, hey, friend, you lie to me. Now we are both in hell. They haven't been delivered up to the lake of fire yet, but they're both in hell. Why? He listened to the carnal, and his spiritual stupor wouldn't allow him to hear the spiritual.
Right.
Then his friend that's in hell takes off the disguise. And he says, I know, and begins to laugh. Pastor is telling you right. But for some reason, people always believe my lies. Because the devil was a liar from the beginning. And the Bible said he abides not in the truth. Anything that takes us away from the truth, when he takes off the mask, we see who he really is. And Isaiah chapter 14 says this about Lucifer. He said, is this the man? When we get down in a place spiritually where we have no future hope or no eternity, we're going to say, is this the man? If we were to die right now, and I'm not talking about tomorrow, I'm talking about right now, because right there is the time we need to get right before God. If you died right now, where would you be? Yeah, no, we got a lot of reasons. Well, I would have done right for God, but my wife, my husband, my children, my job, my position at work, or all the things that I want to do. But when we appear before God, and I want you to think about right now, I'm not talking about tomorrow. There's no guarantee that any of us are going to make it past the next few minutes.
Right.
If you walk out of these doors right now, the charade is over. The masquerade is over. Being a spiritual charlatan is over. It's all over. If you say, don't scare me, I ain't going to scare you, because knowing the terror of the Lord, be persuaded again. So right now, it's not me, it's God speaking to you. If you leave these doors right now, can you see his will? I've been purposing to get some stuff right, but you know, I'm embarrassed. God already knows.
Right.
You know, that's a strange thing. It's not funny, but it's humorous. I'm so embarrassed. Well, is it more important to be embarrassed by God than man? When Jesus himself says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but our reverence, our fear, not the husband, not the wife, not even the pastor, because I can't do it, not the leadership of the church, not the ministers, not the board. Jesus says, fear him that's able to destroy first the body, but then cast a soul in heaven. Mm-hmm. Our reverence has to be to God.
Right.
Stop playing the game. Amen. Paul says it's high time to wake out of a spiritual stupor. Who's he writing to? The world? No. He was writing to the church. A spiritual super. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And if we don't shout, Lord willing, we'll shout next week when we get it right. Amen. Amen. Like I said, it's just the last few weeks, it's just been heavy, heavy, heavy on me that some of us have forgotten the reason God called and chose us. Yes. The Bible said in the book of John, it said, yes, I wish above all that y'all might prosper and be in health even. But that's not what God called us for. Those are the benefits of being right. God didn't make that first. Those are the blessings. Those are the benefits of being right. For he said himself, Jesus, seek ye. Seek ye.
First.
Come on, can we say it together? Seek ye.
First.
The kingdom of God and his
righteousness.
Then health, wealth will be added to you.
Right.
The spiritual stupor is seeking the wealth. They're seeking, I want to look good. And we ought to look good. You ought to be in health. I can go to the gym 5 hours a day. But I'm too busy to spend 5 minutes with God. Bible says, godliness is profitable into all things.
Amen.
But us, bodily exercise profited, yes, it does profit, but little. But godliness, holiness, righteousness profits into all things.
Right.
Holiness and righteousness will take you places that your body can't take.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. We're going to read verses 9, and we'll conclude by reading verse 14, Hebrews chapter 5, a spiritual stupor. And we pray that it's none of us. But if it is, you know the good thing about God, he says, come unto me. If it's not right, don't wait till next year, next month, get it right today. Verse 9 reads, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey
him.
All them that what?
Obey him.
Obey him. Call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern
both good and evil.
for the reading of your word. Father God, this afternoon our request is for a divine inspection. Lord, search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Lord, search the motives and the reasoning behind why we do what we do. Then, Lord, as you inspect us through your word, we ask you to send your word to heal us. Lord, send your word to direct us. Lord, send your word to all our steps. Lord, we want to be able to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So our request this afternoon is, Lord, speak for thy servant here. Then can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. The church is in a spiritual stupor. Let me read one verse. I'm not going to read everything. Verse 11 fully explains a spiritual stupor. This is Paul in writing to his Hebrew brethren. He said, of whom we have many things to say, and but they're hard to say them, because you are in a spiritual stupor. You're double hearing. No, he didn't say you can't hear. He said you're double hearing. In one word, yes, you do hear. But spiritually, you're not hearing and discerning what God is trying to say. So he said you're in a spiritual stupor. Amen. I'm going to go down a little bit further to verse 13, and then we go to Mark chapter 8. Today we're going to do teach, preach. Is that all right?
Right.
Because we want to be right. Does none of us any good to come to church, and when we leave out the door, our conscience is condemning us? And, you know, as a kid growing up, I used to go to some people when I had a problem. I wasn't saved, but I grew up in church and I knew better. You don't have to be in church to have some morals, to know right from wrong. But I wasn't saved, and I would go to my friends when I knew my life was out of spiritual kilter, I was out of step with God. They weren't saved and I weren't saved, but I knew something was wrong. And when I felt bad, I would go talk to them, and after I talked to them a little while, I feel a little better, but something down on the inside just couldn't rest. What we do a lot of time when our conscience is bothering us, we go to somebody that we know is going to tell us what we want to hear. But the word of God says it is our conscience. Well, it says our heart, but that means your conscience. For those of you that want to be theoretically, spiritually correct, I know I'm going to get corrected later, that's all right. All right. It does say your heart, but it means your conscience, it means your inner being, it means everything that makes you you.
Right.
So you can make it whatever your conscience, your mind, whatever. But if that condemns you, the Bible says God is greater. You condemn, your conscience is eating you up, you know your life is out of kilter, and what you do in church, the spirit of conviction is cutting you, slicing your hand, dicing you. And you know, you need to get it right. So when you leave out the doors, you lose that spiritually. But God is greater.
Yes.
And there's another little point in that scripture that we don't like to really reflect on. It says, and he knoweth
all things.
All things. If you, in yourself, feel condemned, God knows it.
Yes, yes.
Because he knows all things.
Yes, he does.
So he said, God speaking to the Hebrew word through Paul said, I have a lot of things to say to you, but I can't do it right now because you're dull of hearing spiritually. Amen. I'm going to come back to this. Let's go to Mark chapter 8 quick. dull of hearing, how? Spiritual. I can hear good, I can see good, I see, all my senses are in tune. But you're in a spiritual super. Mark chapter 8, and we're going to go to start at verse 14. Mark 8, verse 14. This is Jesus dealing with the religious, or the people of that day that would be called the religious ones. Everybody today is religious. Everybody is saying and believe in God. So Jesus is dealing with the religious authority. He said, now the disciples had forgot to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, Jesus is speaking in the spiritual.
Yeah.
But the religious people were in a spiritual stupor. So the Lord was speaking spiritually, but then they're going to internalize it and make it natural. That's a spiritual stupor. That's having ears to hear, but you're dull of hearing. That's what he called not being a full age, not being spiritually mature. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have? The Lord is talking about one thing, but they cannot discern the spirit. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye? Because you have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither? Why can't you understand? You've been in church all this time. You don't understand spiritual stuff.
All right, everybody.
You've been walking with the Lord all this time, and we're trying to get you right spiritually. And every time the church tries to get you right spiritually, you turn it into something natural. Amen. You don't understand.
Come on.
He said, why is it that you do not understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Heart means unbelief or an impenitent heart, won't allow the word of God to reach you. Having eyes, you see not. And having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not. The problem isn't the natural. It's not what everybody can see, it's what God sees. Yes, he's talking about a spiritual eye. He's talking about a spiritual ear. He's talking about a spiritual heart. When you're not right spiritually, you just cannot understand. Anybody that's out there say, I just can't figure out how I'm so bad. What ears are you hearing with?
Amen.
What eyes are you seeing with? What heart are you receiving? The natural will never work. The spiritual. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not in the flesh, but in the
spirit.
Too many of us are coming to church and we just all wrapped up in the flesh. So what God says is no condemnation. Yes, if you follow the prescription of conditions. He did say there's no condemnation, but you in the flesh. Hey man, you natural. You're not in the spirit. Why? Because he says the eyes that see, the ears that hear, and the heart that cannot receive, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. And neither indeed, you gotta get it right. Ain't no use in coming to church putting on that phony show. God sees you where you are.
Amen.
You can't hide. Amen. When Nathaniel came to Jesus and Philip told Nathaniel, I found a man that told me everything. When Nathaniel came to Jesus, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no. He was pure.
Right.
He wasn't phony. He was what he was. And because of that, Nathaniel said, surely this is the Son of God. Because Jesus looked at him and he said, this man is real.
Yes.
Who told him? God seeth not as man. My wife is messed up. God still doesn't see as a man. So he said, have not eyes you see not, and ears you hear not, and you do not remember. Go ahead down, skip down, next verse. We know about the 5 loaves and the 4,000 and the 7 loaves and the 4,000. We'll go to verse 21. And he said unto them, after all that I've done in your life, after I've been so good to you,
talk about it.
After I made waves where there was no way.
Yeah.
When the death angel was there and the doctors and everybody else had written you off, when I made a way out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He said, with all that I've done for you already, how is it that you still don't understand? When you think of all that God has done,
yes.
Why don't you understand? We're in a spiritual soup. You know, as parents, anybody ever has little babies you want to put them to sleep so you see them little lullabies?
Yeah.
You know, sing the lullaby. I forget what, I used to sing with my sister when she was young. I used to keep the kids at night. I used to love kids. So I babysit at night and I used to put them to sleep. They almost every night when they were little. I forget one of them songs my mother used to sing, so I used to sing it all the time. But the purpose of singing the lullaby was to lull them into a sleep. The devil would sing some lullabies in a lot of church member ears. Put them to sleep. Soothing, relaxing. But you don't realize he's setting you up for the fall. Don't you see where I live? Don't you see what I drive? You need $500, $1,000? Jesus said, a man's life spiritual doesn't consist in the abundance of things that they have.
Amen.
Because God looks beyond all of that.
Yes, he does.
I believe Job said, naked, came I out of my mother's womb, and naked. There's one thing that you have today. One thing that you have today that no one else can take, and it will live on forever somewhere, and that is your soul.
That's right.
Naked came out of the mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither.
Right.
God may give, and God may take away, but I still, in my right mind, have a mind to bless the Lord. So it's time to worship God. You can't worship if you're not spiritually in tune. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm gonna bring it to a close here. We're gonna go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Don't let the devil continue to put you to sleep. Telling you all the right stuff you want to hear. You know, if you make a loud, hard noise and the baby trying to sleep, guess what? They ain't gonna sleep.
Right.
They ain't gonna, yeah, I know, English ain't right this way. They ain't gonna sleep. That's right. You play all that hard rock stuff and all that, they're not going to sleep. So you got to appeal to their nature. The devil knows that if he put you out there and says, sin, do this, do that, you're not going to do it. So he's appealing to your nature. Just playing that soft stuff. And you just feel so comfortable. No longer, you're on your way to hell. Because that spiritual lullaby has been a spiritual stupor. I go to church every once in a while. Let's see, we have church. I'm going to use somebody else's church so you don't think I'm talking about us. We have church Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Oh, no, that's not so cool. We have church Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. We don't have church those days. Let's see. 3 days, let me pick my day. He must be crazy. The church must be nuts. They're going to want to church every day, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. I'm going to pick my day. Well, this day, I don't feel that good. I don't feel like doing this. Oh, such and such has happened from here from out of town. Oh, I'll be right there. Well, what happened? That lullaby just got you rocking. So you pick and choose with God. Then on the flip side, you think you can tell God what he ought to be doing for you. Spiritual lullabies. Rocking you to sleep. Well, I haven't been to church in about 3 or 4 days. Maybe, you know, I want to show God how good. I'm going to show God. No, you can't show God anything. God already knows. God saw those other days where you were at. And you should have been in church and wasn't in. And you were big and bad enough to do everything else but church. When I'm talking about me, so y'all can't get mad at me when I talk about me. All right? I used to play sports, and I was crazy. I played through everything. Hurt, injured. Doctors say don't play for 2 weeks. I played the next day. Wasn't too smart, but I did it. So when I got saved, guess what? When I got a little problem, it always bothered me. I said, you know what? When I played sports,
that's right.
This is mine. This is me. I said, I was hurt. I played anyway. So when I hurt a little bit, I'm going to church anyhow. And y'all know that's the truth. Last year, I couldn't even hardly walk. But I was in church.
Right.
You know why? Because I couldn't allow my past to convict my future.
That's right.
I couldn't allow my mindset out of the blood to convict where I am right now in the blood. I worked before. I had 103 degree temperatures, but I worked. Not because I wanted to, but for me. Now you ain't, you're not me. Sometimes we get 100 degree temperature, you just gotta go do what you gotta do. But for me, when I played sports, went to school, and worked, I did it anyway, before I got saved. I'm not talking after I got saved. I'm talking before I got saved. So once I got saved, I'm not gonna allow my under the blood past to convict my blood present. Amen? Oh, I said, the last time I'd be in that church. Is it? You can't deny what you hear.
Right.
You're right, you can do whatever you want to. Just keep running. But so many of us are under conviction.
Yes.
Because before we got saved, we did everything.
Right,
come on now. How many of y'all used to stay up all night partying and then go to work the next day?
Amen.
You did it.
Yeah,
I was younger, it doesn't make a difference what age you were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what time did you get in last night? I got in at 12 o'clock. Well, why weren't you in church at 12? I was just tired.
Come on now.
Yes. That's going to condemn you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. I said, if I knew that was going to happen, I would have stayed home today. God sees and knows it too. And he knows if it's a commitment or an obligation. When God judges us, he judges our hearts. Amen. Let's go back to verse 11. I'm going to finish up here. Verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are." Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have." But they were in the spiritual stupor. They were thinking naturally, but God was speaking. When you're in a spiritual stupor, you come to church, you get messed up and confused. God can't work, can't direct you. For because the Bible said, "Order my steps through thy word, O God." Psalm 119, 133, it might not be verbatim, but it's right, close. So order my steps through thy word, O God, and the steps of a good man are ordered. But you're in church. You're in a spiritual stupor. So having ears, having eyes, and it doesn't even penetrate your heart. How can God reach you when you're dull of him? You're in a spiritual stupor. Next verse reads, for the time, you already said that you've been in church long enough to know better. That's what he means. Some of this stuff, He said, for you ought to be teachers. You've been in here long enough. But you have a need that one. Why are they going to teach you again when you ought to be in a place to help them? You're the spiritual stupor. And you don't realize that your life is drifting away from God. You don't realize that the devil has been playing all the right music. Your friends have been telling you all the right things. Those ungodly relationships have been just playing the music. And you don't even realize it. They're taking you away from God because you're in a spiritual stupor. He which be the first principles of the oracle of God and become such and have need of. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, please help me. All right? Me. If I ever get to the place where you see somebody give me a bottle instead of some food, I ask you to help me. Amen?
Amen.
That's facetious, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They love that feed the pastor a bottle. Oh, my God, I'm never going to that church again. Right?
Funny.
Funny. But that's what he's telling
the
church. You grow. You've been taught. You 50-something like me. I don't care how old, 55, 50-something, 56, right? But I don't feel like that. But anyway, what are you doing sucking a pacifier? If you see a growing up with a pacifier in your mouth, aren't you gonna think something's wrong?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
If you, then listen, if you see a grown up walking down the street with one of those Gerber bottles in his mouth, unless there's a medical condition and we don't want to leave that out. I'm talking about their volition, their choice just to drink a bottle and they ain't need no food. You want to say what? Something's what? But when you're in a spiritual stupor, you don't realize that you ain't nothing but a bottle sucker. And you're not eating a solid food. Because you've been spiritually blinded. See, I use myself as an example. But it's still the same truth. Paul is telling them, you've been in church long enough. Get off the milk of the word. And live by the sincerity of God's word. Get out of it. Next verse reads, for everyone that uses milk, they don't know how to live righteous. Yes, you've been saved for so many years, and you put in the numbers. I don't have to figure that out for you. You know if God's speaking to you. If he's not, thank you, Jesus. But you've been saved for so long that you don't know how to live righteous. You already knew this. You want to be on me. Well, they give you a pacifier, a bottle, and some of us get those teething rings. You know what? Because you're just bad. Mm-hmm. And don't even realize it's spiritual because you're in a stupor. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are spiritually mature. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, or mature as your Father in heaven is perfect. Mm-hmm. Even those who by reason of use have their senses. Paul is saying, yes, you have natural senses and you also have spiritual senses. He said, but you've been in church long enough that you have perfected your spiritual senses that you can use them properly.
Right.
When in church. Now, if you're not saved, we're not talking to you. But I do say this, if you're not saved, it's time to get saved. But if you're in church, the church is in a spiritual stupor. And keep blaming God. Point a finger of accusation in the face of God. Because we cannot hear. Have their senses exercised to discern. You know, in my spirit, God was leading me a certain direction. But he or they told me this. You've been in church long enough. to have your senses exercised. You use that long enough that they should not have had to tell you anything, because we should be in a position to discern good and evil. That's spirituality. No spirituality, you don't know what to believe. You don't know what to do. I'm all confused, I'm all messed up. That's a lie the devil wants you to believe. That's not God. Amen? Well, say, well, we won't see you no more. God will.
That's right.
Because for God, there's no hiding place.
No.
David the psalmist said, Lord, where can I go? Flee from thy presence. Lord, where can I go that your spirit is not there? I got convicted. I'm not going somewhere where people are trying to help me live right so I can get saved and go to heaven. I think I would go somewhere, somebody would tell me something, so when I leave out of the church, I feel all right. But when you sleep at night, that's the good thing about God. God puts us all in a one-on-one experience where he speaks directly to us. When the crowd is gone, when everyone is left, it is just you and him. He's speaking. He's trying to order your steps. He's trying to get you right. But your ears are dull and hearing. It's time to do what's right by God. Let's go to my last chapter. This is my promise. Is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read just a couple of verses there for you in Hebrews chapter 10. We're talking about being right. It's not up for us, for me to judge. The Bible says we have to work out our own. Can I get some help? We have to work out our
own.
It didn't say the husband can work it out for the wife, or the wife for the husband, or the parents for the children, or the grandparents for the children. Amen. Not the pastor, not the assistant pastor, not the mother, not the deacon, not the minister, not whatever head, church, auxiliary leader. You got to work it out for yourself. We have to work out our own salvation with
fear and trembling.
Reverence for God. You got to work it out, you and God. See, we don't have a really big church anyway, so it don't bother me. But I'm going to tell you the truth.
Come on, Albert.
You might be able to say a whole lot of stuff about me, but one thing you will never be able to say. If God tells me to say it, there's no fear. God forbid. I believe Isaiah and Jeremiah both said it in Ezekiel. If God tells me to cry loud and spare not, if I'm afraid, the offering might leave. Or we might not have the tithes. I can't tell that. Because the church might not prosper. Amen? He said, but if you see them wrong and you don't warn them, I'm going to require that their blood at your hands. He said, I'm going to require because you had their ear. You were my mouthpiece. You should have warned them. But you didn't, for fear of what they were going to do. Hey man, it's not up to us. Jesus said, no man can come unto my Father. Spirit got to put you. I can't do it. But if I have your ear, and for fear of loss of natural things, I don't care about the natural, I want your soul to go to heaven. But for fear of natural things, I cannot tell you the truth. God says in the end, pastor such and such that had the opportunity to cry loud and spare not and lift up thy voice and tell my people their transgression in the house of Jacob, their sin. You didn't do it? I'm going to require their blood at your hand.
Not a joke.
I never want that indictment on me from God. So I'm going to warn you. Now, I can't make you do anything. And you can talk about me, it doesn't matter. It's time for the church to be the church.
Right.
Stop all this hypocritical phoniness and acting like you're in church. And you realize, you know that you're in a spiritual stupor. The Bible says this about those in a spiritual stupor, of whom a man is overcome. Of the same is he brought into bondage. What has you bound this afternoon? It's not God, because the Lord is that spirit. And the scripture said, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is. So you can't blame anyone else for where you are. If you got Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, let's go. Oh, I lost, excuse me, 1 second. Chapter 10, let's go to verse 18. Verse 18, and we're closing. He said, now remission of these is there is no more. If God has saved you, your sins will not be forgiven as though you have not committed them. Now. So now you have to confess. So whosoever confesses and forsakes his sins shall have mercy. There remains no more remission for that sin. When you got baptized in Jesus' name the first time, because you didn't know better, God said, I forgive your sin, though you're guilty. Yeah. And the wages of sin is death. Yeah. He said, I'm going to remit that. So you don't have to take the penalty. But after the sins have been remitted, everything you added up now, there remains no more remission for that. You got to get it right. Amen. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Well, how does God cover that?
Come on.
Somebody said, well, I didn't see it. Did you transgress? Transgression is going against God willingly. Being in church, and you should have been there willingly. Doing the right thing, that's a transgression. You went against God. Psalm 32:1, read it in your spare time, and 2. In order for you to have blessings, you got to get it right. Not think it right, you got to get it right. So he says, there remains no more offering for that. You can't get it right by getting baptized in another church somewhere else. If you did it right the first time, that's been remitted. So, well, you know, I sin in whatever church. Because we don't sin in here, so that's all right. All right, so everybody feel pretty good about that. We don't sin in here, okay? If you sin somewhere else, now I go to this church and I get rebaptized, it doesn't change. So guess what? If you don't go back to where you messed up at, still ain't right. Hello? You gotta get it right. So that's the spiritual super the church is in. When it ain't right here, go over there. It ain't right over there, go over here. You got to go back to the beginning.
All right.
To get it right.
All right, sir.
There remaineth no more offering for sin. Next verse. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. I've got to come boldly to the throne of grace. That I can get a little bit of mercy and find some grace to help in my time. Lord, my time of need is right now. Lord, I need you to move on me right now. Lord, I need you to touch me. And I need you to do it right now. So guess what? I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace that I can find some mercy and find grace to help. That's the preach part that's going to teach. All right? Got to find mercy. Got to get some grace. Paul said, when he gave it to me, his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. I am what I am today by the grace of God. God didn't work in my life. God didn't move me. God didn't save me. Hallelujah. For me to live in a spiritual stupor. So it's time to get it right. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Hallelujah. You can't get into the holiest with sin.
You can't.
You can't get in there. The priest before Jesus, who became our high priest. He used to go in once a year for the sins of the people. But after Jesus, hallelujah, I can get to the holies of holies for myself. Somebody said, well, how can you get to the holies of holies? But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When I get down and begin to mold and grow with Jesus, I enter into another spiritual realm. I enter into another place of God. I enter into my holies of holies. You can't get there with sin. That's why the Lord put the flaming cherubim. Someday we'll teach on that. The reason Jesus had to be cut up and wounded so bad is because he had to go back through the cherubims to recapture eternal life for us. That's why his visage was far beyond any man's. That's why he was stricken and full of grief. Because he had to go back through the flaming cherubims to recapture the tree of life. But after he went back, brothers and sisters, we have a right to the tree of life if we stay in him. Holy is of the blood, by the blood of Jesus, by a new hand. Thank God he's not dead. He's what? I said, God's not dead. He's what? Somebody said, I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. Go for me, man. I can go for myself. Which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest. How many in the house of God? Thank God for Jesus. He's our high priest and he's over the house of God. Look what it said. Let us draw near with a what? Your heart gotta be right. He's over the heart. It does you no good. So, hey, half the church went up. If I sit back, y'all look bad. So you know what? In my spiritual stupor, as the devil is playing these little lullabies, I better go in there like everybody else. That's how I'm going to look right. I'm not going to look good. Amen? Let us draw near with a and half the assurance. Part of the assurance. You can't come full. The heart's not true.
Right.
So I'm going to draw in there with a true heart and a full assurance of
faith.
And I'm going to have my heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. But what is it? Before you can have it sprinkled, you got to come what? True heart. In the full assurance of faith. Many of us come to church, hearts, minds, or somewhere tomorrow, or yesterday, or last night, or what happened this morning. And then we come to church expecting to hear from God, not a true heart. And it's part of the assurance of faith, but it's not the full. Anybody feel like they need to be filled up today? Just approach God with a true heart. Amen? Full assurance of faith, have our hearts sprinkled for an evil conscience, and our body washed in pure water, and let us hold the profession of our faith. Most of us, when it comes to God, sad to say, we do not hold fast the profession of our faith. It didn't stop there. It said, without for he that wavered is like a double-minded man. And the Bible says, as we stand, let not that man expect to receive what? He can't get it. If we're going to come with the full assurance of faith, as we ask everyone to stand, the altar team and the ministers come forward. It's time to approach God. But we must approach God in sincerity, with a pure heart, a pure mind, and a pure conscience. Can you say that it's well with your soul? We sing the song, Come to Jesus. If you know you're not clean, it's time to get it right. Don't allow embarrassment, don't allow shame to stop you from calling to Jesus. Years ago, we used to sing a song, All to Thee I Freely Give, I Surrender All. When you surrender, you put your hands up and say, I'm tired of fighting. Lord, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of trying to make myself right doing it my way. So I surrender all. I throw my hands up. Lord, I throw my heart up. I open myself to Thee. The most important thing that we have this afternoon is our salvation. Don't let it be said too late. Hallelujah.